So yeah, that's another story, because already we have quite a lot to cover. So I won't go into the, I won't get sidetracked. So I'll just stick to it. So, by the way, that gentleman who came, how was he? It was you met with them, yeah?
He only asked us what time you were giving class.
Oh.
We were outside chanting, and he just asked, what time is Swamiji giving class?
Oh.
And then we told him the time.
Yes?
He has many questions. His main question is around when the body dies, does the consciousness die with it? He wants to explore the idea of the consciousness surviving.
So, did you enlighten him?
I said I could perhaps organize darshan with you in the morning.
Why darshan? Why couldn't you tell him?
I told him what I understood.
Don't always pass the buck to me. Like, this is something you could have answered.
I
why?
Did answer, yes.
Okay. Okay.
So
you know, everybody has to preach, you know, like, and. Okay. Yeah, it seems that he spoke to quite a few of us.
Yeah,
like he spoke to Damodar Prasad also.
And,
yeah, he spoke to you also. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, he took Darshan's message.
Oh, I see. And I think this trip has been quite effective. Like, so many of them are chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes.
And you know, when someone chanted Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that because you just chanted Krishna's name, you're delivered. So we don't really know how they're going to receive the mercy of the Lord, even though unconsciously chanting the holy name of the Lord. Like when Chand Kazi just unconsciously used the name Hari, Mahaprabhu said, because you said Hari, you're delivered. Although Chand Kazi was so offensive. And okay, so now Gop Kumar arrived in Dwarka. So and there he saw various groups of Jadus, Jadavas, along with their children. They were accompanied by some Brahmanas of Mathura and were enjoying themselves. And what did he see? He saw such opulence in Dwarka that he never experienced before. See, he already went to Vaikuntha, he already went to Ayodhya. And I mean, when he went there, the opulence of those places enchanted him completely. But then when he went to Dwarka, that was something unique, opulence. Like all that he had experienced before became totally insignificant to the opulence of Dwarka. And and seeing the Jadavas, he was so delighted that he forgot everything that he had in his mind. And those Jadavas also seeing him like brought him to their company and embraced him. So and then from a distance Gop Kumar now saw Krishna. Krishna was sitting here with his associates, Vasudev, Satyaki, Balaram on one side, and Uddhav and others on the other side, and the front was Ugrasen. Ugrasen was the king. And all around him were various symbols of royalty, befitting the ruler of kings among kings. And there were servants qualified to attend him, and transcendental opulences standing in rows before him. Sri Vasudev, Balaram, Akrura, and others sat on his right, each on his own seat, Gada, Satyaki on his left, and just before him was King Ugrasen. Also nearby was Lord's minister, Bikadru, with Kritavarma and several other prominent Vrishnis. Sri Narada was entertaining the Lord, making him smile with clever words, fine singing, and the music of his Veena. Garuda stood before the Lord, glorifying him with prayers. And Uddhava massaged the Lord's lotus feet and pleased him with affectionate, intimate remarks. Seeing from a distance the goal that Gop Kumar desired to see, he became unconscious, overwhelmed with love. Then the Lord, brimming with exalted rasa of affection, told Uddhava to bring him close to him. Krishna told Uddhava, bring him to him. So then Uddhava quickly went there, and he also was delighted to see him dressed as a cowherd boy. And he carefully lifted him from the ground and brought him back to full consciousness and brought him to Krishna. And Uddhava actually made him touch the lotus feet of the Lord with his head. And Krishna also stroked him with his lotus hands, as if to cleanse each of his limbs. And he took the flute from his hand, and looking at it, he became silent, as if lost in some deep thought, and tears started to flow from his eyes. The flute reminded him of Vrindavan. And seeing the Lord in that condition, Uddhava actually whispered to him that others are here. So he should not display such emotion in the assembly where there are so many. Others are there, they may not understand. And then the Lord opened his eyes and looked at them. And with difficulty he somewhat calmed himself and then got up and entered his inner house. He just left the assembly because he didn't want to show this emotion. And he took Gop Kumar with him. Holding his hand, he took him. Holding his right hand, Hutik took him with him and entered into the palace with Balaram and Uddhav. The Lord's 16,108 queens followed him, and with them, along with their maidservants. Among the queens were goddesses Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravrinda, Satya, Bhadra, and Lakshmana. So this is how the Lord entered, and his intimate associates also followed him, the queens and Balaram and others. And there, Gop Kumar actually saw, although he was with his mother and father, Vasudev and Devaki, but Gop Kumar saw them as Jashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and all the queens as the gopis, and all the other boys there were the cowherd boys. We have to understand that by the mercy of the Lord, Gop Kumar had the vision of the Nanda Nandan. Krishna there also, he saw him as Nanda Nandan. Now it was time for lunch, but Krishna was so kind of overwhelmed with emotion, thinking about Vrindavan, Braj, that Krishna didn't have any appetite, didn't want to eat. But the food was brought to him. So he just took a little and he fed Gop Kumar. So this is how we see, like how Krishna of Vrindavan feels about the residents of Vrindavan. Just because he was a cowherd boy, he treated him with such affection. And then Uddhav, somewhat by force, took Gop Kumar away from Krishna, took him to his house. Why? Because he knew, Uddhav knew, that Gop Kumar's presence there is going to affect Krishna. So he just took him. So this is how we see how Krishna of Dwarka misses Vrindavan. And then only he came back, Gop Kumar came back to his normal consciousness. And remembering what he had seen, that he saw the Lord and he is now in Dwarka, he is having such association, he just kept losing himself completely, he just kept on dancing like a madman. And he told himself, indeed, today I have achieved the ultimate perfection of all my desires. For with my very eyes I had seen, with all his attractive charms, the hero of Braja, upon whom I have always meditated in my heart. So the next day, he went with Uddhav and saw his Lord. And while residing therein, Dwarka, he constantly, abundantly received the Lord's mercy, wonderful mercy. And then, Gop Kumar was living there and he was still like a cowherd boy. So the Jadavas, one day, some of the Jadavas told him that you are now our companion. We think it hardly fitting that you continue to dress like a miserable forest dweller. Because Dwarka is place of opulence. And this troubled Gop Kumar's mind. So although they requested him you wear dresses like us, which are naturally available to anyone who lives here. And even though the Jadavas insisted, Gop Kumar stayed like a poor, simple devotee, because in their dress, I would not have been able to taste the special mood that appealed to my mind and to Lord Achyuta's. So this is how, what we see, the Gop Kumar's constitutional position was in Vrindavan. Therefore, he had this spontaneous attraction to that situation, and he didn't want to change. So the point is that those who belong to Vrindavan, they'll always be like that. They won't be attracted to the opulence of Vaikuntha or even the opulence of Dwarka. Are these informations, you find them valuable? Good preparation for going to Vrindavan? Do's and don'ts? So one day he saw Narad Muni there, and he bowed down to him in utter joy and amazement, and he told him, I see you just everywhere. I saw you in heavenly planets, I saw you in Vaikuntha, and now here, looking just the same. How fascinated I am to see this. And Narad Muni told him, my dear young cowherd, surely you have always been a curious boy, and so you are even now. Haven't I explained all this to you before? Just as the one personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, exists in many forms and many places, so also we, so do we, his servants. So the point is, as Krishna expands, Krishna's associates also expand. And just Krishna remains one, although they expand, they also remain one entity, one personality. So this is another inconceivable mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. See how the boat is rocking. It's rocking now when this sea is quite calm. What's going to happen when the ocean, when it's going to be 15 feet high? The waves are going to be 4.5 meters. 4.5 meters means about 15 feet. Yeah, that's true. Almost 2 floors high. And that's why they're locking those. Did you hear the announcement?
Yeah.
They're testing the lock gates. So all those will be locked in the lower deck, so that water doesn't come in. So, each assumes a variety of forms, yet stays essentially one, just like the Lord Himself. And then Narad Muni told him, what amazes me is that you still appear like this, playfully showing your same character as before. And even here, you seem always discontent and distressed in heart. That is most astonishing to me. Then Gop Kumar grabbed Narad Muni's feet and humbly told him, my Lord, you know everything about this. Then Narad Muni and smiled, and looking at Uddhava was there. So because he was constantly with Uddhava at that time. So Uddhava, looking at Uddhava, Narad Muni told him, just see Uddhav, this cowherd's son, born at Govardhan, is seeking something unachievable for a person like you and I. Greatly agitated, he wanders here and there, never anywhere transcending the painless distress that is fixed in his heart. Indeed, Uddhav, you are always anxious to favor the residents of Raja. Then why not spend a moment to enlighten this boy who is present right beside you? And Narad Muni actually told him, the Uddhav, that he is aspiring for something that you and I also cannot get. That is, even Narad Muni and Braj Uddhav cannot have permanent residency in Golok Vrindavan, in Braja. But this boy is qualified. This boy is qualified because he has a spontaneous love for Krishna. So he, Narad Muni asked Uddhav to advise him. So Uddhav told him that, look, I am a Kshatriya, and in front of you, how can I give advice, spiritual guidance? So Narad Muni said, Uddhav, even here, you have your feeling of being Kshatriya. That is, that's a Varnashram situation. And then Uddhav said, what to speak of me? Even our Lord maintains that mood, even here. So, that is, in Dwarka, Krishna is a Kshatriya. And Krishna's associates there also are Kshatriyas. Uddhav says, he was born in Brajabhumi, and there he was engaged as a cowherd, and he is firmly established in the worship of Lord Gopal. He is surely a much greater soul than you and I. So, the devotees of Vrindavan, the devotees of Krishna of Vrindavan, are in that way considered to be even more exalted than Uddhav and Narada. Narada was delighted to hear this. He embraced Uddhav and enthusiastically told him, please hurry and instruct him so that he may fulfill his desires. But Uddhava replied, O great sage, since I am a Kshatriya by birth, in your presence I have no right to instruct him. Narada laughed very loudly and said to Uddhav, even here in Vaikuntha, you can't stop thinking yourself as a Kshatriya. Then smiling, Uddhava said, What can I say? How can someone like me stop thinking himself a Kshatriya when even our Lord does not? Even Krishna doesn't stop thinking that he is a Kshatriya. Here in Vaikuntha, the Lord maintains the religious principles and civilized people just as he does on earth. He behaves like a proper family man, conquers his enemies, shows respect to elders and brahmanas and so on. So, anyway, let's see. So then Narad Muni kept on telling him, overwhelmed by weight of love, swept up in various ecstatic transformation, he remained silent for a while. Then he spoke again, perceiving that he was troubled and keen for his instruction. So Narad Muni told him, dear devotee of Lord Gopal, O son of a cowherd, far away from here lies the most exalted of all places called Golok. It is full of all splendor and beyond the borders of all other regions, including Vaikuntha. That same Golok takes the form of the divine Brajabhumi of the district of Mathura, and the city of Mathura is also there. Unable to stay apart from her own essence, Vrindavan and the other forests of Brajabhumi. Because the entire land of Mathura is land of cows, therefore it is called Golok. Because that land is the land of cows. Go means cows and Lok means land or place. Though confidential place, it is famous everywhere. That abode can be reached only through the purest sentiments, in which one follows the sublime love held for Krishna by residents of Braja. So this is an important thing. How can one enter into Braja? When one follows the sublime love held for Krishna by the residents of Braja. Therefore, it is called Raganuga Bhakti. So, simple words, Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha and Raganuga Bhakti leads to Vrindavan Goloka. Raganuga following on Ragatmika Bhaktas. Rag means those who have pure love for Krishna. Sublime love for Krishna. And one follows that sublime love. Such pure love for the personality of Godhead can never be achieved by concentrating on His supreme power, because in that mood one invariably feels fear and reverence. Awe and reverence. So when one recognizes the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one automatically feels awe and reverence, and as a result of that, one cannot develop that intimate relationship with Him. Or in simple words, in order to allow His devotees to develop this loving relationship, Krishna in Vrindavan has become a cowherd boy. He is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this way, Narad Muni keeps on describing about Golok Vrindavan. This chapter is mainly about that description. Okay, let's just read these points also. So, as I mentioned, Krishna, if there is the opulence of the Lord, if the opulence of the Lord is there, then automatically fear and reverence will appear. And this intimate loving relationship will not be possible. But when one achieves that love only by thinking of the Lord as one's ordinary dear friend, there the feeling is not that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The feeling is He is my dear friend. That love is higher than found in the material worlds and the outer coverings of the universe, and higher than the spiritual kingdom beyond. Although that reciprocal affection seems to follow the ways of the ordinary world, it is beyond the world. This loving exchange appears to be like the loving relationship here, that one experiences here. Like the friends have relationship, parents have relationship with their children, and lovers have their relationship with their beloved. Like that, these relationships are available in the earth. And the same kind of relationship is there in the spiritual, topmost region of the spiritual world, Golok, with Krishna. So the difference between material nature and spiritual nature is, did I ever mention that before in the class here?
Yes.
I think I did. Material world is where we are the center. And spiritual world is where Krishna is the center. So, when these relationships are there with Krishna, then that is the relationship that is available in Vrindavan. In Golok, the dealings between the Lord and His devotees increase their mutual love in a way not possible in Vaikuntha. the abode of supreme opulence. Ajodhya and Dwarka resemble Vaikuntha, but Golok is even greater. Therefore, Krishna has arranged for it to be far away. So, Golok is far away from Vaikuntha, even Ajodhya and Dwarka. In that most delightful abode, the residents share special pleasure pastimes with the Lord and realize the ultimate limit of sweetness. Madhurja, sweetness. Very important point here. Although you all know, but here it's being confirmed from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When the personality of Godhead Krishna, Lord of Golok, wants to enjoy his various pastimes of the highest pure love, at the end of a certain Dwapar Yuga, he descends to the material world in that special place, complete with all his partial expansion. So Krishna of Golok comes down here to experience those loving exchanges. When does he come? At the end of certain Dapur Yuga, not at the end of every Dapur Yuga. Once in a day of Brahma. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. The 7th Manu is Vaivarshata Manu. And Vaivarshata Manu's reign has 71 Chatur Yugas. And out of that, in 28th Chatur Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes. And he came just the other day. I'm sorry. Just 5,000 years ago. And those 5,000 years ago, according to Brahma's calculation, not even 5 minutes. So that's why when I said other day, I meant according to demigod's calculation. So I'll just try to Uddhava is very dear to Narad Muni is telling Uddhava is very dear to the residents of Braja, and you are from Braja yourself, therefore I can say something confidential. Because in what he means, in Dwarka, no one should actually hear that. Is it all right that I am speaking here about the things that is not even, even the residents of Dwarka are not qualified. Only Uddhav is qualified, and Gop Kumar is qualified, because Uddhava is very dear to the residents of Braja, and you are from, that's Gop Kumar, Narad Muni is saying, you are from Braja itself. Therefore, I can say something confidential. Can I say something confidential? In that Braja Bhumi, the Lord's opulences have visibly achieved their final perfection, and so also in many various ways have his mercy, his beauty, the sweetness of all his excellent qualities, the splendor of his pastimes, and his subservience to his devotees. There, the Lord is subservient to his devotees. Now, this kind of mood cannot develop anywhere else. Can the Lord becomes subservient to somebody in Vaikuntha? Because in Vaikuntha or in Dwarka, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So He is the Supreme, so no one is superior to Him. So how can He be subservient? But in Vrindavan, He becomes subservient to His devotees. Okay. Then He is showing, He is telling, in that land of Braja, any tree with any of its parts can fulfill all the desires of anyone who asks. Yet the Lord does not always display His opulences in Braja, because that might obstruct the enjoyment of His pastimes. Opulence or in reverence may hinder His pastimes. And then He was saying that how merciful the Lord is in Braja. Putana came to kill Him, but because she came disguised as His mother or displayed mother-like attitude towards Him, He gave Him the position of His mother. Putana got the position of His mother. And Putana's brothers and Lord bestowed upon the destination being His mother. And by similar pastimes He also gave liberation to her family members, Aghasura and others. Aghasura and Bakasura. They're Putana's brothers. Even though they were enemies of the pious devotees, He allowed His belly to be tied to the base of a grinding mortar by ropes for tying cows. And to enliven the women of Braja, He danced, entertained them in other ways, and carried out their orders. So He carried out the orders of the cowherd damsels. His beauty amazes even Him. Krishna Himself becomes enchanted by His own beauty. Seeing Him, the cows, birds, bushes, creepers and trees all become ecstatic. Not only the friends and other in Braja become ecstatic. Even the cows, the trees, the plants, the insects, the bees, and bushes, they all become ecstatic. And in beauty, character, virtues and behavior, the women of Braja excel even the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. And they were so enchanted by Krishna's beauty that when there was any obstacle or hindrance, they would become extremely upset. The gopis were so attached to Krishna that when their eyes blinked, that for a fraction of a moment that they couldn't see, they cursed Brahma. What kind of body he made with eyes that blink? And they glorified Indra, who had thousands of eyes. Because Indra was cursed to have many eyes. And they hanker for all their senses to become eyes. How can I describe the greatness of the land of Braja, where the personality of Godhead displays His own beautiful form? He may possess the same transcendental nature everywhere, but even in His company, the devotees in other places don't feel the same ecstasy. It So he's describing that what he had done in his childhood pastimes, he hadn't displayed, he hadn't done that anywhere else. What he does in Vrindavan, he never had done that anywhere else. And he started to describe when Krishna was 3 months old, he lay under a large cart and broke it with his tender foot, just 1 foot. And then he cried for breast milk. Like, just with one kick, he broke this huge cart full with all kinds of utensils. Actually, it was a demon called Shakatasura who came to kill Krishna. But Krishna, just with his left foot, killed him. Just with a kick at the age of 3. And then after doing that, he was crying for his mother's milk. So that's his pastimes. On 2 occasions, he showed his mother the whole universe within his mouth. His pastimes of killing Trinavarta and crawling around in charming ways and stealing butter and yogurt to satisfy the gopis. Narada Muni then said, "May I be protected by the clever glances he cast at his mother in apparent fear when the gopis complained to her, by the delight he showed in eating dirt, and by the games he played while his mother churned yogurt." Then he was saying that in his childhood, Krishna did all kinds of pastime. He stole butter like a naughty boy. And when the gopis came and complained to his mother, Krishna was afraid. The mother now would chastise him. And how Mother Jashoda actually tied him up with a rope in a mortar. And then, by dragging the mortar that his mother had tied around his belly with the ropes, and he delivered 2 Arjuna trees. So in this way, Narada Muni kept on describing Krishna's activities, describing the specialty of Vrindavan. Who can describe the charm of those pastimes, which bewildered even Brahma when he saw them? Krishna himself assumed the form of the calves and cowherd boys, and yet he went to search his friends and calves like an innocent child. Isn't it amazing? Like, he bewilders Brahma, assuming the forms of the cowherd boys and the calves, and at the same time he goes out searching for his boys. Like, they were having picnic morning, they were sitting near Jamuna, they were having their breakfast, and that happened just after killing of Agasura. Agasura was such a demon that the demigods, even just by hearing Agasura's name, would start to tremble in fear. Agasura was impossible. No one could kill him. Such a terrible demon. But what did Krishna do? Krishna killed Agasura. How did he kill Agasura? Agasura thought that he will swallow up Krishna, along with all the cowherd boys. And he was lying there with his mouth wide open. And the cowherd boys playfully thought, "Oh, this is a new cave we found, Krishna. His mouth looked like a cave." And they just walked in. And Agasura had his mouth open, And he was thinking that when Krishna would enter, he'd close his mouth. Now Krishna saw all his friends have entered, even the calves have entered into Agasura's mouth. Now what to do? So Krishna was standing there. And then he thought, okay, I have to go. So he entered into Agasura's mouth and Agasura closed his mouth. So what did Krishna do? Krishna expanded his body and started to emanate heat. So he got stuck in Agasura's throat. Like Agasura couldn't swallow him. And the heat was unbearable for him. And his life air could not leave the body. Because in one hand, his throat is choked. So, his life air left from his Brahmarandhra. Now mind you, that is how the yogis leave their bodies. So this kind of facility is even in the demons' gate by Krishna's mercy. And Agasura's soul was hovering on the space until Krishna came out. And when Krishna came out, Agasura's soul entered into Krishna's body. So Brahma was watching. Brahma thought, oh, who is this? Like, not only this child killed Agasura, the terrible demon, and Agasura's soul just entered into his body. Like, is it Lord Narayan, my Lord? And so Brahma was watching. Let me see. Let me check out. And then Brahma was watching, and then he saw all these cowherd boys came on the bank of Jamuna, and they are having their breakfast picnic. And they were having their exchange of food, like they were taking food in such a way. Sometimes Krishna would, sometimes one of the cowherd boys say, Krishna, Krishna, this sweet is so delicious that my mother made. After eating it, he found it was so tasty that he wanted Krishna to eat it also. Krishna, see how delicious it is. And Krishna also take that. Then some other boy would think, oh, let me also taste it. So the sweet was now, Krishna, after taking a bite, kept it on his plate. So the other boy said, Krishna, Krishna, look at the bird there. And when Krishna looked, he stole that sweet. So this is how they were having their loving exchange. So Brahma thought that my Lord can never behave like this. Like he won't eat somebody else's remnants. And so he began to wonder, let me check out who this is. So Brahma stole the calves. And all of a sudden they noticed all the calves are missing. So Krishna said, okay, you all carry on eating, I'll just go and find out. Maybe they have entered into the forest. So he went looking for the calves. And then Brahma stole the cowherd boys also. And Krishna came back, still with his dahi rice in his hand, dahi ras laddu in his hand. And he is looking for his boys, cowherd boys. What happened? The calves are missing, cowherd boys are missing. So then Krishna realized that it was Brahma. So then Krishna said, okay, Brahma, you want to check me out, yeah? Okay, check me out. So he expanded himself into all those cowherd boys and to all the calves. So Brahma placed all those cowherd boys and calves in the cave, and as he looked around, he found the same scene going on. Same number of cows, same number of cowherd boys, they're doing the same thing. So Brahma thought, well, I just put these cowherd boys in the cave. What happened? Did they all go back there? So Brahma looked there and he found that these cowherd boys are all fast asleep. Then Brahma again looked back, and then what did he see? He saw that all the cowherd boys and all the calves are Narayan, Shodam Narayan. So this is how wonderfully Krishna is performing his pastime. In one hand, like an innocent child, he is searching his friends. And then on the other hand, he expands himself into Narayan. Then he delivered Dhenukasura and how he subdued Kaliya. So Narad Muni was describing how wonderful the Lord's activities are. The pastimes of the forest fire took place on the shore of the same lake. So anyway, this is how Narad Muni is describing. Very fortunate is one who uses logical arguments to make known the supreme glories of Krishna's pastime. And to one who becomes full of prema simply by hearing a few words about those pastimes. And Krishna's flute is so enchanting that hearing the flute, all the demigods become bewildered. And Indra, Shiva and Brahma and other demigods become so confused that they could no longer tell fact from illusion. So attached to Krishna's that the cowherd boys were so attached to Krishna that when Krishna would go away for some time, then they would be in great anxiety. Like they would feel their whole life, their whole existence has become meaningless. So what to speak of when Krishna went somewhere? When even when they're passing through some tree, and because of the tree they couldn't see Krishna, they would be in great lamentation. So this is how the residents of Vrindavan were attached to Krishna. Srimati Radharani and other supremely fortunate gopis abandoned their husband, children and other relatives. Their goal of the next life, their religious principles and even their shyness and the state of ecstatic love they attained left them always distraught. I'm just And Lord Brahma and Narad Muni said, and our friend Uddhav, they just wanted to, seeing the glory of Vrindavan, they wanted to become a blade of grass there or a creeper there. Who can describe the Brajavasis' attachment to Krishna? In their pure love, they know him only as the young son of Nandagopa. And though fully blessed with that love, they spend all their time in great distress. The people of Braja are not bewildered by Krishna. The truth is that he is bewildered by them. Krishna is bewildered by the residents of people of Braja. So, speaking in this way, actually there is a great description of Narad Muni, of a Braja. I just skipping that. That you all can read on your own sometime. So, so speaking like that, Narad Muni embraced Uddhava and begged him with great humility in a plaintive and prayerful voice, "Please tell us something about this." Uddhava, moved by pure love, bowed his head low again and again. He then said, "At every instant I offer my respects to dust from the feet of the women of Nanda's Braja." And he's describing, Uddhava received such mercy from the gopis that in their company he even forgot about his companionship with Krishna. In the association of the gopis, that means seeing the deep love of the gopis for Krishna, he even forgot Krishna. So whatever he concludes about them and whatever he does or say will be altogether right. So after speaking like that, Narad Muni embraced Gop Kumar and immersed in waves of ocean of love for Krishna, he trembled and wept and his hair stood on end. He bit his tongue, a tongue uncontrollably eager to keep speaking, and he danced wonderfully and showed many symptoms of ecstasy. And Narad Muni said, "This subject should always be kept private, to be spoken only among saintly devotees, and it should specially be avoided in places where the Lord's supreme opulence is displayed. That is why I did not reveal these things to you in Vaikuntha. Only here, moved by the charm of your ecstatic love for the Lord, have I spoken them a little. On my own behalf and that of Uddhava, I testify to you that from here, that abode of the Lord is in fact most difficult to achieve, and so too is the discipline that leads to it." So, in Dwarka, Vrindavan cannot be accessed. "Not far from here lies the Lord's holy abode known as Shipurshottam Kshetra, which you visited before on earth. There, in the company of Subhadra and Balaram, Lord Purushottam enjoys the same sports he enacted in Govardhan and in Vrindavan forest and on the shore of Jamuna. Purushottam Kshetra, there the Lord displays his supreme opulence and yet charms his devotees by acting like an ordinary person of the world. And if you are still not fully satisfied after going there and seeing him, then at least stay there sometime as the means to achieve your desired goal. But the prime cause of pure love for Krishna is Krishna's full mercy, which in someone may arise spontaneously and in someone else by gradual practice of devotional service. One develops that love by practicing the devotional service whose main ways are meditation, on the singing about the many Braja pastimes of the Lord. That service becomes brilliant by Sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. That loving devotional service is far different from disciplines such as karma, jnana and yoga. At every stage it is decorated by indifference to them, and its root is dainya, utter humility. Wise men define dainya as the state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and low, even when endowed with all excellences. An intelligent person should carefully cultivate speech, behavior and thinking that fix him in utter humility, and anything that stands in the way of it should be avoided. Dainya at its most exalted comes forth when prema, pure love of God, reaches full maturity, as it did in the women of Golok when they were separated from Krishna. When dainya fully matures, prema unfolds without limit. And so we see dainya and prema acting in a relationship in which each is both cause and effect. So, we also discussed that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagati. How many of you attended the Sharanagati lectures or Sharanagati seminars? Okay, so none of you have done that. So Sharanagati has six aspects. Sharanagati means surrender to God. And that surrender has six aspects. The first is dainya. Dainya means humility. So unless and until one develops humility, one cannot have love for Krishna. As long as we have pride and arrogance, there is no way that we will be able to receive devotion to Krishna. This is an important point. Indeed, without prema, the nine kinds of devotional service are like vegetables without salt. So this morning we discussed that prema bhakti, devotional service, pure devotional service, is based on ninefold activities. And but here he is saying, Narad Muni is saying, that this ninefold devotional service without prema is like vegetables without salt. How does vegetables or any preparation without salt taste? Right. And this way Narad Muni is saying, how can I adequately tell of the nature of the pure love of the women of Braja have for Krishna? If ever you meet the divine goddess Radhika, then you will see prema in person. And if ever she speaks about prema, only then can you hear the truth about it, if you are able to understand it. Or should there ever be a full incarnation of Sri Krishna Chandra to distribute pure Krishna prema, or to experience the Krishna prema of Srimati Radhika, you might be able to understand it. So, they are discussing in Dwarka 5,000 years ago, this happening. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come. So he is actually saying that this prema will be achieved by the mercy of that personality. Or should there ever be a full incarnation of Sri Krishna Chandra to distribute pure Krishna Prem or to experience the Krishna Prem of Srimati Radharani? You might be able to understand it. So, 5,000 years back it was spoken, and today, is it happening? So, there in Golok, the pure devotees always feel humility and pure love for the Lord. In that mood, they see the forests, rivers and hills as if an empty wilderness. Those devotees, their mouths filled with cries of lamentation, their hearts burning in absolute grief, are always searching for their beloved. So then Narada Muni told, O Uddhav, you truly must have great affection for the residents of that land, for you have spoken your good advice to help this boy quickly achieve what he desires. You know the supreme greatness of that Brajabhumi. You left Lord Krishna, your worshipable deity, and resided there a long time. So Narada Muni said, O glorious one, beloved of the Braja, hero of Braja, please know that soon your purpose will be achieved. Long ago, greatly fortunate one, I concluded that this would happen. Even when you come to Sri Vaikuntha, the Lord's abode of limitless, incomparable joy, and to his transcendental city of Ayodhya, and to this city of Dwarka, even greater than both, your heart's distress only multiplied in a most unlikely way. On Swarga and the other material planets, you remained naive, even though seeing the lotus feet of your Lord. So then, Narada Muni advised Gop Kumar, so now go quickly to that most sweet Brajabhumi, which enhances the fame and splendor of the earth. Go fulfill the desire you have held for so long. There, without delay, you will surely succeed in spiritual practice that will bring you to the brilliant world about Vaikuntha, Sri Golo. Then Uddhav said, if you are going anywhere else, the proper thing would be to take permission from the Lord of the Jadavas. But that land of his is most dear to him. Not even by direct service to the Lord here in Dwarka does the love arise that firmly develops into one merely lives in the land of Braja. Therefore, I spent a long time in Brajabhumi on the pretext of consoling the Lord's dear devotees who live there with nothing left but their lives. So this is how Uddhav advised. So Gop Kumar, then filled with the highest ecstasy from drinking the immortal nectar of Uddhava's word, I seemed to lose consciousness. There in Dwarka, for a moment, I closed my eyes. Sensing that someone had taken me elsewhere, I then opened my eyes and saw that I had been brought to this grove. So that's how the first chapter ends. Gop Kumar is telling his story. Gop Kumar is telling his own life story, his own development of Krishna consciousness to this Brahmana from Kamakhya. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any question? Yeah.
For a guest here, very young.
Oh, I see.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
So you're listening?
Yes, I just came 30 minutes ago.
Okay. Was it difficult to understand what you're discussing?
Just a little bit, just because English is not my first language.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
It was you.
We are discussing about the spiritual world, how it is like.
He was actually helping me.
Okay. Very good. And you are with the P&O?
I am.
Yeah?
Working in the spa right now.
I see. And where are you from?
I am from Venezuela.
Wonderful. Wow. That's.
She's a doctor.
Oh, I see. I see. Very nice.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for coming. So, any question?
When the body passes and the consciousness continues, how long until it enters another body? Like, how do you know where it is and how long it lasts?
Well, it will depend. It will depend. Generally, Garuda Puran says that it takes about 1 year for soul to get his next body.
If there's a case where it takes.
Now, the thing is, but at the same time, it will depend upon different individuals. Say, for example, Hiranyakashipu, he had to wait for one yuga to get his next body. And he came as Ravana. In from Satya Yuga, he was killed by the Lord, and in Treta Yuga, he came as Ravana. Then again he was killed by the Lord. He had to wait for another yuga. And then he came in Dwapar Yuga as Shishupal. Then he had to wait for another yuga. And then in Kali Yuga he came as Jagai.
So might it be possible that somebody you know has passed away, it may take a few decades before they...
Yeah, it will depend upon, main point is depend upon material attachments. The more attached one is, longer it takes. Less attached one is.
Can they begin a detachment after the body is dropped?
No. That happens during his lifetime. Hari Bol, any other question? Yes, Bharat Shrestha.
With the transmigration.
Huh? What's that?
The transmigration of the soul from. What's the difference between the karmas that we get and the impressions that we get on our mind? How do we.
I didn't get that. Karma and inspiration.
Impressions.
Impression, okay. Again, it will depend. Some individuals remember quite distinctly about their past, but generally one doesn't remember anything from the past. Like, do you remember anything? Okay, so that's it. But again, we can see that they carry the impressions of their previous, from their previous life. Like a child, right after birth, he cries. And sometimes he laughs when he's happy. Where did he learn to laugh? Where did he learn that when he is happy he should laugh? So these are the indication that one actually carries the impressions from the previous life. He learns, unless he cries he won't be able to breathe. Right? So he cries, the baby. The doctors will confirm If the baby doesn't cry after the birth, that means trouble. Right? They spank the baby sometimes to make it cry. Okay. So,
in this 1 year, that body, soul gets by another body. What's the activity of the soul?
It stays in the mother's womb, develops the body. Slow, at that time, the soul is in a kind of a dormant state, sleeping state. Okay, so yes, Bharatashrestha. Yeah, it's like vegetables without salt. Well, initially, it may be without salt, but when you put some salt in it, it becomes more tasty. The point is, see, what are the nine processes? Hearing, chanting. So, when you hear, if that hearing is without love for the Lord, that hearing is not so effective. Not so relishable. If the chanting is without the love for the Lord, the chanting is not relishable.
But too much, if we don't hear, we won't be able to develop a lot properly.
So that's, yeah, like you start off like that. Initially, it may not be, as I said, like, initially, it may not be with love. As you grow, the love will develop. You know, right at the beginning, you can't achieve perfection. But practice makes one perfect. Yes, Murari Mukunda.
What are the activities of demons in the spiritual world?
The demons in spiritual world? They... Actually, in spiritual world, there is no demon.
But those who celebrate them, like Putra, you get the position
of... Oh, they get the position of like you'll see later on, the next chapter will describe their, like say for example, they're in a liberated state. Like Putana got the position of the mother. And this will describe, like Keshi is there. Keshi is a horse demon. Keshi is there. He's tied up in the stable. And sometimes Krishna wants to have a joyride. So he rides on Keshi and with his friends and goes around.
Different.
The demoniac attitude is gone. The personalities are there to serve Krishna. So, okay. Any announcement today?
No, just 9 o'clock class tomorrow, and hopefully it's not too rocky.
9 o'clock tomorrow? Yeah, okay, right.
And then after that class, Guruji, people have requested a group photo. So
tomorrow.
We'll discuss at breakfast, but basically after the class we'll meet at level 5.
I hope the boat won't be rocking too much.
That's right.
I was also thinking that giving a class, while giving the class, we won't get thrown out of the of our seats, you know.
And then I think at 3 o'clock we're meeting for our group session, and then 7 p.m. is our last.
Okay, maybe the picture photographs will come somewhere.
post came that. Before the announcement about the rocking.
Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.